The first scripture I'd like to share with you today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 through 29. Let us together hear God's word. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world, and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. Our second scripture I'd like to share with you is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and verses 1 through 14. Let us again hear the word of the Lord. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there was a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few chosen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Maybe you can remember what it was like as a kid being chosen to be on a team sport. Maybe you were selected early on or not selected very early on in the process by a larger group of kids or captains. Imagine captains of two baseball teams down to their last grudging choices. A slow kid, perhaps, for the catcher. Someone to stick out in right field where nobody hits the ball. And they may even speed up the process and choose some of the remaining kids, two or three at a time. You, you, and you. Because they know it really doesn't make much difference at that point. That child or those children are not going to do much for the team. They're of little value in their minds. And the poor last kids chosen, as we used to call them so cruelly, the scrubs. They trade for them almost as handicaps. Well, if I have to take Sam, then you've got to take Fred. Just once, those leftover kids would love for the captain to say with great enthusiasm, him, I want him. The skinny kid, the kid with the Coke bottle glasses, get him. You there, come on, you're on my team. Wouldn't you have liked to have been chosen like that, with that much encouragement? I remember that I was always somewhere in the middle, not really at the beginning or at the end. But maybe we've never sensed that we are so valuable to God that our great team captain, God, has passionately chosen you and me, and very early on. And very early on in the draft means, in this case, before the foundation of the world. That's when he pointed his finger towards our creation and said, I'm going to create him and her. Come on, you're on my team. Ephesians 1:4 says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us as adopted sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Oh, today I finally come to accept, after many years, that I have been chosen by God, not just invited by him, but chosen. And I pray for you and everyone to believe the same truth. Yes, we've already been generally invited to God and to accept the gospel message. Everyone, the scriptures indicate, is invited by the great, great love of God. But most assuredly, many have declined God's general invitation. And yet, because we are here today worshiping him, serving him, you and I may believe and sense that we've also been chosen by God's special selection. You see, God does more than just call out generally to people or invite people generally. He chooses, selects the leftovers, even the failures of life, those who are less than desirable, cruel, even the inept, to be on his team. He loves them and he chooses them. And because of this, they've accepted that they are weak, that they have sinned, and they have admitted that they haven't already done very much for Christ or for his team. And so today's message, entitled Many Called, Few Chosen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts now to hear the truth of Jesus' parable. May we understand this great truth that we have been chosen, that we have been loved before the foundation of the world, that you have chosen us in Christ, and yet we have the awesome and profound privilege of saying no or yes, even with the gift of faith. We pray in Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's an old story about a Sunday school teacher who was teaching a group of teenage boys about Christ's disciples one Sunday. About Christ's disciples and their abilities, their attributes, and why Jesus might have chosen them. And toward the end of the lesson, a teenage boy who was particularly enthralled about the whole concept of calling said, "Teacher, why did Jesus choose Judas?" To which the Sunday school teacher replied, "Son, I don't know. But I have a harder question. Why did Jesus choose me?" Friends, we cannot discern why God should choose you or me, except to say it was out of his sheer grace. No one deserves to be chosen. I cannot tell you today why God called this person or that person or a disciple named Judas who would betray him, except to complete his plan. And in the same way, I can't explain why God called you and me together in this church, in the Charleston Presbyterian Church. But I can tell you for certain that he has. And if we are Christian, we have also made that choice. We have chosen Jesus and one another through faith and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God has also enabled us to be able to make that choice, something we could not do without him. And we are so pathetic, we cannot even say yes to him without the gift of faith. You see, in Jesus' parable of the wedding feast, he spoke of a king who sent out invitations to come to this wedding celebration for his beloved son. But the ones who were invited were unwilling to come. Notice that none of these people were forced to come. None of them were forced to say yes. None of them were compelled to say yes. There's no Calvinistic irresistible grace in any of Jesus' parables. These folks paid little attention to the king's invitation, and they didn't even care that he had gone to such great lengths and expenses to ensure that the feast was filled with the best of the best of everything. They simply turned him down flat cold, as did others whom Jesus called and especially chose to follow him. They turned Jesus down to his face. Oh, they had their reasons and excuses. But it boiled down to the fact that the king's son was just not very important to them in their lives. You see, the feast was for the king's son, not just for the invitees or the king himself even, but for his son. Each of these people had previous plans, they said. One went to his farm and another to his business. How like that sounds today. Well, how important is God's son to you and to me in our daily lives? But even worse than this, some of those who said no to the king, to his gracious invitation, even began to mistreat the king's servants and killed them, like Israel did many of her prophets. Finally, the king, after many attempts, had had enough. The rejection of his love, the rejection of his son, prompted the king to send out another invitation. He said to those slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. For many are called, but few chosen." Over and over throughout the Bible, we hear something about human choice being a factor when God calls anyone, or he calls a church, or he calls a pastor to a church. One person says yes, another person says no. Please find the place that says that God's grace is irresistible. You won't find it. In fact, everywhere in which we can see God's grace is certainly resistible, even after being chosen like Judas was. Actually, if there is no rejection of God's grace and will, then there can't be any sin, and there is certainly sin in the world. The fall of mankind happened, and mankind rejected God's grace. Think about it. God's grace was never irresistible, even before there was sin in the world, even before the fall of humankind. God's grace was not irresistible. Friends, we are not automatons. That's not how God made us. Now, the Greek word for called is kletos, which means to invite or call. But the Greek word here for chosen is eklektos, which means to call out or select, to choose. These are totally separate words with an important distinction of meaning. The first is more like a general invitation, but the second is a specific choosing. It's more like what happens when a captain of a team chooses teammates. And yes, even though everyone's called to play the game, a general invitation goes out. Only certain ones are chosen to do this or do that and to be on the captain's team. In other words, the external call goes out to all people, but only the elect experience the internal call. And there is something else very interesting that's found in Jesus' parable in verse 14. Poloi gar esin kletoi, olegoi de eklektoi. For many are called, but few chosen. The verb are is here, but not contained in the second half of the verse. Notice this. But it is merely implied. That's why you'll see some in italics. So it's, for many are called, the verb is there. But the last part of that is, but few chosen. Not are chosen. Few chosen. Perhaps it is intentional, an ambiguity, designed to remind us of the mystery of God's calling. He calls us, yes. But then we choose him. Not our chosen, we choose him. After all, the parable is clear that it was the decision of those who had received the king's invitation as to whether they accepted it or not. Jesus was very clear here that they had the choice after that invitation by the king. And they certainly believed. They certainly did. They had the faith required to either accept the truth that the king had invited them to the banquet or not. Or if they didn't believe it, they wouldn't have responded at all. They wouldn't have turned him down because they didn't believe it was true to begin with. They believed in the invitation. And they still said no. What does that mean? There's actually three types of people in this parable. The first group never answered his call to come. They flat refused his invitation for whatever reasons, even though they believed it was a true invitation. God invites all people to repent and come to the banquet and to receive his forgiveness and love. But many people do not respond. Many people say no. Some souls will never receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, unfortunately. Not even Jesus himself would be able to change their minds, nor would he want to. If they are not already convicted by his word and the Holy Spirit, God may have invited them, and indeed he has invited them, but they have the profound and awesome option of saying no to God. Now the second group were just folks in the streets. They were invited too. But before then, notice they had simply never heard the invitation. Therefore, they had no opportunity to say yes or no. They had no opportunity to answer God's call. These, it turns out, were the Gentiles who were given the chance to respond after Israel had already been invited. And so we should be reminded that there are people out in our communities whom the church needs to reach, that Jesus wants to reach, the Father wants to reach. They will say yes to the invitation as soon as they're given an opportunity through people just like you and me. After all, how would you accept an invitation if you hadn't already heard it? And if you haven't heard the invitation, why would you accept an invitation you never heard of? The Reverend Huey Kin, a Chinese Christian pastor in New York, was reading a daily paper one day, and he saw that a distinguished countryman of his was to be in New York on Sunday. So he quickly telephoned him at his hotel and invited him to come to attend his Sunday service at his church. The invitation was promptly accepted, immediately. And after the service was over, the guest said to the pastor, "You see, when I was a boy in China, I was acquainted with some Christian people, and I thought highly of Christianity. I had never identified myself with it, but when I was appointed to come to America, I decided I wanted to throw in my lot with Christian people there, and I made up my mind that I would say yes. I would accept the first invitation that was given to me to attend a Christian service." Oh, friends, we should never believe that God's invitation will be rejected or ignored by some people. We just don't know. No one knows but God alone. Only He knows who will accept Him and who will reject Him or ignore Him. Our job is simply to send out the King's invitations at His command, not to judge who may come and who may not. And God forbid that we should ever decide and prefer one guest over another. So let us not sit on God's invitations or neglect to send them out. That would not be obeying the Great Commission. And yet the third group in Jesus' parable are different. They are a few folks in the church who have been invited and appear to have said yes and answered that they will accept God's call in their lives. But they are counterfeits. They are pretenders. They are not clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness. Oh, they may be religious, but they have not repented of their sins. And they have not truly received Christ's forgiveness and cleansing in their lives. They are not clothed in the robe of which John the Apostle spoke in Revelation, behold, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Jesus brought this point up, that a person did come into the wedding feast that was not wearing wedding clothes and dishonored his son. And the king asked him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? But he was speechless. The king was so displeased that the man had dishonored this festival, this great honor of his son, that he had him thrown out of the banquet. Now, this teaching within this parable is difficult to hear and to understand. But even people sometimes who are invited, if they are not cleansed by the blood of Christ through faith, if they have not adorned themselves in the garments of God's grace and forgiveness, if they have not been baptized into Christ and received the Holy Spirit, then they do not have the proper wedding clothes on. All of us must be clothed in Christ's righteousness to be dressed properly. In Palestine, flocks of sheep and herds of goats are plentiful. They dot the countryside, clutter up highways, crowd the streets and towns and villages. Sheep have shepherds, but goats have goats. The shepherd with his long staff walks in front of his flock and they follow him. In fact, they crowd around so closely, sometimes they hamper the shepherd's movement. On the other hand, the goatherd carries a short stick, walks behind his herd to keep his goats walking together in the right direction. He has his hands full because goats are far more individualists, impulsive and self-willed. They dart off in all directions on personal missions of their own. And so Jesus compared sheep with goats, and he knew precisely what he taught. He grew up with them all in the little village of Nazareth when he was a child. And there's a big difference, not only in appearance, but in nature and behavior. Goats are not responsive to leadership. They have to be driven by a prod. While sheep are completely different than that. They know their shepherd's voice and willingly, lovingly follow him. Oh, but God equally loves both the goats and the sheep, doesn't he? And yet the goats, unfortunately, will still go their own way. Beloved, you and I have been called to follow Christ like sheep and not to go our own way. But each of us must ultimately make our choices, and each one of us must identify and discover whether we are part of the elect chosen before the foundation of the world or not. Have you sensed God's selection, election in your life? Have you sensed that you've been chosen out of the world to follow Jesus Christ and be on his team? You see, in order to be with Christ, we must be called by him, chosen by him, and we must choose to say yes to his invitation and his choosing. What has been your response to God's calling and choosing in your life? Rest assured that one day our groom will come, or we will go to be with him. And he will spot immediately whether we've been clothed in Christ's righteousness or we're dressed in our own filthy rags of self-righteousness and goodness we think we've done. And then he will separate us like sheep from the goats. And some will praise God and some will be speechless. And in one place there will be eternal light and love of his presence. And the other, a place where the goats would rather go, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Please, for your own sake today and for the kingdom's sake, do not pretend that you are a Christian for the sake of pride or humiliation or embarrassment. Because one day everyone is going to know when the Lord reveals it, there will be nothing that's hidden now that will not be revealed. Shout it from the rooftops. Oh, I pray that I will never hear the Lord say to me, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" Brothers and sisters, the table has already been set. The feast has been prepared, a feast of love and fellowship, for God's Son has been prepared, and it is sumptuous. The invitation has gone out openly and freely. We all have that invitation to His kingdom of heaven. That invitation is attached to the gospel, the good news, wherever it's heard, whenever it is heard. But God also specifically calls people to follow Him. He commissions us in a great commission for His service. And yet God does not choose us because we are proven performers, no. Or we excel at what we do, no, not at all. He chooses us because of His awesome grace and His great love. As Paul said, "For consider your calling, Kletos, brethren. But there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen, eklego, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen, eklego, the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, eklego, the things that are not, so that He may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. I confess to you, therefore, today that I am just one of the many, many unwise according to the flesh. I confess to you today I'm just not one of the mighty or noble people. I'm not so noble. In modern urban language, I'm just a scrub. But thank God, praise God, He calls out to me and to all scrubs, you there, come on. You're my team. I've chosen you. Are you with Him on His team?" The writer of the book of Revelation, writing about the evil during the last days, put it this way: "These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful." To God be all the praise and glory. Please pray with me as silently as I pray aloud. Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I have sinned, that I have not helped your team, that I should not have been chosen at all. Lord, you've chosen me not because of what I can do, but because you love me. You have great plans for us all. Oh God, use me wherever you choose to put me, and I will give you all the praise and glory and serve you all the remainder of my days. Help me to know that I've been chosen, not just a general invitation that has gone out to all people, but you have chosen me. Thank you, Lord.